Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Kovacs here. Yesterday in Mishneh Yomi land, we entered chapter 3 of Sanhedrin, getting back to the procedure of choosing justices for monetary cases. Mishneh Bet continues that theme. Amar lo, one litigant said to the other, Ne'eman alai abba, I trust my father to serve as a judge, which is not normally done because they're related. Ne'eman alai avicha, and I trust your father to serve as a judge. Again, also not normal, they're related. Or he says, Ne'amonin alai shlosha roe bukar, I trust these three cattle shepherds, herders, to be our judges in this dispute. Now, that's a bit of a stretch because normally people dealing with cattle are away from the yishuv. They're out of town for quite a lot of time. They're not in the base medrash necessarily. They're not necessarily doing daf yomi. They didn't really have Mishneh Yomi back then. So they weren't necessarily bucky. They weren't necessarily fluent in monetary law, but he accepted them even though they're not great judges. Now, the question is going to be, if he doesn't like the outcome, could he then retract and ask for real judges, for qualified judges who really know halacha to retry the case? Rabbi Meir says, Yachol lachzor bo. Rabbi Meir says he can retract. He accepted judges that are not normally accepted, either because they're related or because they're not fluent in halacha and Jewish law. So after the case is done, he could say, you know what, let's do this over for real in a real court with real judges that aren't related to anybody. The Chachamim Amrim, the other sages, disagree with Rabbi Meir. They say, Eino yachol lachzor bo. He can't get out of it. He accepted these people as judges, even though they're not normally used as judges. He's stuck with the verdict that they issue. In a similar vein, hayachayev lechaveru shavua. If one litigant has to make an oath to another, there are many cases you mentioned in Bava Metzia where an oath is required. For instance, mode b'miktzas hatayna. Someone admits partially. So Reuven saying, you owe me 200, and Shimon says, I don't owe you 200, but I owe you 100. So then he needs to make a shvua that he in fact owes only 100 and not the full claim of 200. So in such a case, someone owes a shvua. Va'amar lo, and the other guy says, Dor li b'chaye roshecha. You don't need a formal shvua. You can simply make a dor, a neder, b'chaye roshecha, by the life of your head. You can swear by your life, which is not a real binding oath. It's sort of, I'm affirming, I'm standing up to the fact that this is true. Rabbi Meir Omer Yachalach Zorbo. Rabbi Meir says, after he has the other litigant make such an informal, non-binding, non-serious oath, he can say, you know what, let's go to court and have you hold a Sefer Torah and make a real serious oath just to make me feel comfortable. Chachamim Omrim, the other sages again say, Eino yachol lachzor bo. Once you've made the opponent in court, you know, you've said, I'll accept such an informal, non-binding oath, you can't then drag him to court to make a serious binding oath holding a Sefer Torah. Now on to chapter 3, Mishnah 3. Ve'elu hen ha'pasulin. These people are pasul, are disqualified from serving as judges or giving testimony in court. We referred to this briefly in Mishnah Aleph. We didn't explain what they are. Hamisochek bekuvia, someone who rolls the dice, a gambler. Hamolve beribit, someone who loans to Jews with interest. We discussed in Bava Metzia that loaning money with interest is not inherently evil. It's sort of naturally how economics and business work. Money makes money. But Am Yisrael is considered one big family, and you wouldn't lend your own brother or sister with interest. You might lend a stranger with interest, but not your own brother and sister, which is why ribit, interest, is forbidden between Jews, but allowed when Jews are lending money to non-Jews. Umafriche yonim, those who make the doves fly. And either it means it's a form of gambling by racing, like dove racing, similar to horse racing, but, you know, low budget, or it's people who would whistle or offer treats to entice doves who belong to a certain person to come out of their nest and then be captured. So he's stealing doves from other people. We mentioned how dove coats work in Bava Batra, and finding a little dove hopping around close to a nest means it's probably from that nest. The Sochrei Shvit, and those who are doing business with Shvit, with sabbatical year, seventh year produce. Recall that the Torah in Vayikra chapter 25 says that on that seventh year, that sabbatical year, we let the land just lay fallow. We don't plant, we don't plow, and whatever comes up is available for everyone to share, meaning a person can't take it and then go sell it in the market. Nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, there's a whole system, there's a whole matzav set up where farmers, you know, really the Beit Din, the court, can take some produce and sell it sort of indirectly on behalf of the farmers and make sure the farmers are taken care of on the seventh year and that there's no isser of shviit that's being violated. Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon explains this shviit issue a little better. Batchila, originally, hayu korinotan osfei shviit. Originally, they would call these guys who are suspected of dealing with shviit's produce gatherers of seventh year produce. But misha rabu ha'onosim, once there was an increase in the anosim, the oppressive tax collectors, foreign governments were coming in and appointing tax collectors to go to people's fields and demand payment, or else the government would take their property. Hazur likrotan sochei shvit. So the Mishnah went back to say that the pasul people are not osfei shvit, those gathering sabbatical produce, but sochei shvit, those who are actually selling and commercially doing transactions with shvit produce. The idea being the people who are simply gathering in their own field, even though their field should be hefker on shvit, but they're gathering a little bit of produce to set aside in case the tax collectors show up. They have to have something to give the tax collector or they lose their entire field and their livelihood. Our sages decided it's problematic on shvit, but it's understandable and it's not such an isser that we're going to penalize people and say they're not fit to be judges or witnesses, because what they're doing is simply trying to save their own field, whereas somebody who's collecting merchandise and produce and then going out and selling it to other people, that's a different madrega of Shemitah problems. So that one would still be a problem. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Matar Yehuda says, going back to the gamblers, when are gamblers ineligible to be judges or witnesses? Bizman she'ein lehem umanut elahi. When they don't have another profession, when they don't have a day job making their money. So they're actually making money by gambling and being a card shark and playing poker. That's their parnasa. Aval yesh lehem umnut shalohi. If during the day they're an accountant or a doctor or a lawyer, but they happen to have every Tuesday night, they have a little club and they play poker, ksherin. They would still be acceptable as witnesses. Now the Gemara explained they're still osik b'yeshuvo sho'olam. They are still settling the world. People who are just gambling and engaged in scalping money off of other people and conning vulnerable people, they're not engaged in yeshuv ha'olam. They're not settling the world. They're just ripping everybody off and gambling and making money that way. But somebody who has a day job and they're contributing to society and they happen to have a habit or a hobby or some buddies, you know, that maybe it's not the best crowd, but they're their buddies from high school or yeshiva, that is something understandable because they're still part of a functional Jewish society. They're still adding to the bottom line. So it's a real mussar for us. I mean, I would say for all of us, but you guys are tzaddikim. As I'm saying for myself, we all have problems and we all have, you know, things we shouldn't really be wasting our time on. And that we should work on. But at the end of the day, if we're spending a lot of time and energy supporting a Jewish family, making sure our children get a Jewish education, supporting institutions of Jewish education, learning Torah, teaching Torah, encouraging other people to learn Torah, we are involved in Yeshuvah Sho'olam, and that's something to be proud of, even if at the same time we have some habits that maybe we could do a little better. Shakochachem, tiskul mitzvot.